Hey everyone, welcome back to the Multilocation Marketing Show. This episode is actually episode 2 of our interview with Tim Flint, one of our partners here at MarketSnare, where he and we talk about SEO trends in 2022. If you haven't listened to the first episode, you can go back and check that out first, but even still, you're going to get a ton out of the second episode if you just want to head right into it. Looking forward to hearing what you guys think, and yeah, enjoy the show.
So if you're so hyper-focused on the map pack, and you're forgetting about everything that leads to long-term visibility, top-of-mind awareness, share voice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you're leaving a ton of business on the table.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And then when you factor in paid, right? So paid probably takes up in a lot, especially the local home services space. I bet you paid traffic is about 30%+ of the overall pie.
Yeah.
Now I was just talking about organic. What's the split of organic? So if you're thinking paid is about 30% of it, is at least 30% of that pie. And then organic is 70% of that pie. That means organic, when I'm looking at GMB plus regular organic. So that means of that 70%, Google Business Profile is about 30% of that, right? So of that traffic, but 50% of those organic leads. So overall total leads is probably only, it's probably less than, or we tend to see really good numbers from paid search. So paid search is probably still strong, 30% of that lead standpoint for a lot of clients. When it comes to search as a whole, I mean, there's a lot of people just getting direct business, and they're getting it from social media, and they're getting it from their print, and they're getting it from all their other sources. And again, that's why you shouldn't be weighed to one area, because when you look at an update such as this latest update, which hasn't this latest that some people are calling it the vicinity update, from Google around the map pack, when something like this happens, if you are diversified across all of this, it's going to have much less of an impact towards you, right? Because you've done your work to be in paid, you've done your work to be in organic. I really think, and I can't stress this enough, and it blows my mind how much most local SEOs, and I'll still call them local SEOs, forget about that organic piece. It blows my mind. They focus so much on GMB, and it's like they want to be the GMB kings and queens, but they forget about the organic side of it. And it's like that drives so much traffic, and it can drive really top of funnel traffic, stuff that won't even show a Google map you can show for, but it can still be really relevant to you.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, wouldn't you say, Tim, that that's probably, given how long that we've been doing this, I've been around doing this since the early 2000s. Don't you think that part of that is because that was so named right when that local came into being, right? So people started specializing in that when that became a thing, just like some people started to specialize in social media when everybody figured out what social media actually was. When that became a thing and it was identified, then people started to specialize in that. And unfortunately, what a lot of them haven't done is they haven't kept pace with the fact that there was always, not always, but there has for a longer period of time been local intent that Google is trying to figure out. But just because they created a map pack, or used to be the 10 pack, and it had an actual Google profile that goes along with that, et cetera. I really feel like that was as a result of that becoming an identifiable thing, and people just haven't kept up with the fact that there's a lot more to it than that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting when you talk about the map pack showing up in maps. I mean, 6 years ago, when we started working together, the map pack showed for far fewer search terms than it does now.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And there's a lot more search terms. Google has realized that most of the transactional internet is local. As much as people love e-commerce, a huge, just massive portion of the transactional internet is for local-based searches. I think I've seen some crazy number as far as the percentages done by some studies from some people. The amount of searches that have local intent is astronomical.
Well, when we forgot about phones, I mean, one of the big things that caused this shift was the fact that you were doing queries from a device that absolutely pinpointed where it was physically at. And so a big move into Google having to provide results that are more and more localized is the fact that the query intent and the query was actually occurring more and more locally. Right. Or it was identifiable as that. I mean, we could go all the way back to when all traffic emanated from basically someplace in Virginia because you were on an AOL account and all your traffic went back to AOL servers and then went out, for those that aren't familiar with the legacy of the web.
Right.
But as you start having more local and localized ISPs, or where they identify as local ISPs, and then these devices, that all gives Google the information that they need to make better decisions on how to serve you a search result page.
So, so that's all good information. So, you know, we're getting close to time here. I want to kind of maybe summarize. What are you guys, it's been a great discussion, obviously, with localization. Now, if someone's listening and they have, many locations, whether they're home services or healthcare or financial services, you know, where do you guys see? And I know there's been some major Google algo updates over the past, 3 to 6 months that have shaken things up, and now things are starting to settle out a little bit. We've seen that with a lot of our clients, kind of maybe there were some dips, and then like now it seems to be like, they're like roaring back, right? And we've talked about that in a lot of the data. What do you, if you were to give, maybe three things that someone should focus on if they have multiple locations and they're really wanting to improve their organic visibility in 2022, what three things would you say you really need to focus on these things?
Tim, you want to go or you want me to go first?
I mean, the first thing I would focus on is actual SEO, because it's still so underdone. It is amazing how easy it is to rank for localized keywords, especially ones which I would dub with the geo modifier. It is intensely, sometimes they're very competitive. There are certain markets, HVAC, which has been competitive for years, but there are still so many low hanging fruit items in a lot of these spaces about places to make money, for businesses, because again, it diversifies you away. Also when your local SEO improves, guess what also improves? Your Google business profile is going to improve as well.
Right.
And also generally when you're doing good local SEO, you have better landing pages. You have your PPC is going to be stronger. I think that's the number one place to move. The other thing that I think is going to happen because of this vicinity update, number two, is you need to look at where you work, where your office is as a business matters now more than ever because of this vicinity update. And so if you were like a few years ago, if you moved out away from the target market,
Kevin's laughing because he's been having this battle with clients forever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you moved to save like $300 a month, if you moved like an hour away from your target market, or 45 minutes away, or however
Let's
long.
Let's say you lived in, your main market was in Tampa, Florida, for example.
Yes.
And your office was an hour north of there.
An hour north of there.
Is that going to impact your ability to rank in Tampa?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you did that to save a few $100 a month on your rent, or even several hundred, even a couple $1,000 a month in your rent, you might have seriously damaged your ability to make money in that marketplace. Yeah. And so you need to really reevaluate some of those things. You might, if you are serious about dominating your market in today's update, especially with that vicinity update, which makes being near your target market, it's not just anymore. 6 years ago, before they really brought in like vicinity to searcher. Like, it was how close was your business to the center of the city, which that was dumb, right? And it's much better now. So you had all these people buying mailboxes literally as close to the center of the city as possible, so that way they could have a listing that would show up more, right? Well, that's dumb. Now it's at least more relevant. You want to be close to your customer. So if your customer is on the north side of the city and you are way on the south side of the city, maybe you want to move your business up to the north side of the city as close as possible. Now I think some of that's going to come back, Kevin, because Google went really far, but you really do need to think about your business, and you need to think about, maybe we need to have multiple offices. Maybe there's ways to shrink this, and maybe it's worth it to have multiple offices that your customers could come in and visit you, or that you could work out of and operate of it. Maybe there's ways to do that.
And you may have a bigger warehouse, but just like a small footprint. Maybe you have somebody go in there by appointment only, or once a week. But
Tim and I were just talking about this the other day.
Because a lot of people think, well, can I get like a virtual office? And Google's gotten really strict about cracking down on that. I've even heard, they used to, and they still do, they'll send out a piece of mail. So if you register, they'll send out a piece of mail to that address, and you got to get it and put in the code. But I've heard people saying that they even have people like wanting to be on a video conference with you and show me your office, right? I mean, now that's really, really strong validation. What else are they doing? I mean, so it's kind of hard to kind of game that system like you might have been able to in the past.
Yeah. No, well, it is, but you're going to see a lot of spammers who are going to put up some really bad crap. They're going to go find somebody who has a foreclosed home or something like that, and they're going to go try and register a business out of this house that's empty. Or you're going to have a lot of really crappy stuff because of this that comes up. I can't see Google being 100% perfect at it at all, because they've never been perfect at any time in Google and in the Google Local Pack. But then again, focusing on your brand. Some of the things that can help you more than anything is we need to get. Oh, so that's the third thing. So if I was to say two, I'd say focus on organic search. Focus on making sure are you near your customer, and is there an easy way, or is there, even if it's not easy, is there a good way for you to solve that problem? And then third, go outside of Google. actually do branding. Make sure your people know who you are. Like, you shouldn't have 100% of your budget dedicated to straight to like for performance only stuff. You should have a good portion of your budget, and I don't think it needs to be over 50% of your budget. I think it can be like 20% of your budget needs to be focused on, how am I building awareness in my market? And there's a lot of cheap ways to do it now. There's lots of great local podcasters who you can get on their shows for pennies, practically, like 50 bucks an episode, or less, right? And you can get good, and you're just getting that name recognition. So obviously radio, television, even again, throw up a billboard, right? All of these things are good reminders of who you are and what you're offering. And so it shouldn't be just a one size fits all. And guess what? That stuff's going to, when your brand is a stronger value because people know you, guess what's going to also improve? Your SEO is going to improve too.
Yep. As people can, Google can see all these different things, right? So as people click on your brand, because I know that's a signal. I've even heard of SEOs, and I'm not recommending this, but you know, where they had a service that people would, you know, search for your company or your category, and then go 8 pages deep and then click on your link and browse around the site for a while to give time on site. And that made a huge impact. So Google's looking at those things, but the things you're talking about are things that help with those types of experiences more organically than, you know, trying to spam and get that done. But yeah, the more visibility you have, the more recognition you have, the more people consume your content, find you specifically and go to yours. That is all those things that build that authority, and that rising tide lifts all boats, so to speak, right? And so we always say that, you know, it's more than just having a program, you know, like a few things that you're doing, but it's like, have the foundation there, you know? And I think that starts, we can all agree with, you know, and this is, I don't think you were saying this because you were assuming it, but that you have a local web presence that is robust with content and information and all about that local market. So if you contain that within its own site versus having it on the corporate site, it's a different user experience. Google sees it differently. And your what I would call your local relevance goes through the roof, because your entire site is all about the products and services that you do in that market and the sub-markets around it if you're doing it properly. And so you're getting more authority there, and you're getting links that go back to that versus your one page on a site of 1,000 pages about your services in that one market. So that's why, I guess, like what I would say going into 2022, you know, is Google is continuing to trend to wanting to be more hyper-localized. So the more you have content and information about that market, and it's all contained in, whether it's a standalone website or a subdomain, that's going to make you look much more relevant to that local market. And so one of my pet peeves, I think, is, because we talk to people all the time and you say, how are you doing in your local organic visibility? Is that important to you? Oh, we got that covered. Well, you look into it and we got that covered means we have somebody that we're paying to do SEO, and they're trying to get us to do a better job in our local markets. And that's primarily done through what they consider a Google My Business, or now a Google, what is the new name?
Business profile.
Google business profile pages, and a location page on the corporate website that might be targeting three or four terms that are the main things that they do. Well, what about the million other ways people can search for you or have questions about what you do or information about it? What about all the other sub geographies that you service? What business services? You know, I'm in Indianapolis and I'm just serving Indianapolis. No, you're doing Carmel and Noblesville and central Indiana. So there are obviously suburbs that people are looking for, because if they're looking for something and you're on the north side of Indy, you don't care what's on the south side of Indy for certain markets, right? Mm-hmm. Certain things will drive you, but you got to know your market and what you're doing. But, you know, you need to dominate all those things. And there are ways to do that. And if you're a multi-location business, you have to have some good tech that can help you manage it, that can help you publish and localize content, make it unique. And those are some of the things that we do. There might be other solutions out there that can do some of those things, but you've got to get, you know, you want to like say, what is my ideal strategy? And then how am I going to achieve that? Not, well, this is going to take me too much time, so I'm not going to do it. because you're going to miss out on a lot of that opportunity. So Kevin, do you got a few you want to throw in there as well?
Yeah, so I think for 2022, I'm not really big into prognostication, but I think a lot of the things that we've been talking about for years are still proving to be very relevant. And I will preface that, you know, our opinion is that it needs to be done commensurate with how people are querying and what people's intent is. And that continues to be proven to be local. And it doesn't have to be just us saying it. The listeners and the viewers here can ask themselves, how do you query and what is your expectation? I'm betting that you're not looking for lawn tractors that are three states away. And I bet you're not interested in the manufacturer. You're interested in who can sell you a lawn tractor locally. And so this is all under that guise, is I think that your content needs to continue to solve people's problems, answer their daggum questions,
yes,
maybe evoke some feelings carefully, and then entertain them in the process if possible. That's just a good, I mean, that will always work. It doesn't matter whether it's 2,000 words long or it's 150 words long, if it fits what the query intent was.
Yeah. I want to add to that. Like, if you're a multi-location marketer, that's the advantage you have. More times than not, you're a bigger organization and you can have people dedicated to that, where you have the funds to outsource and get those things done really well. Right now, the hard thing for you is going to be, how do you take that and localize it? Because if you leave it up to the local people to do it, they're not going to do a good job, because that's not their bailiwick. They're out swinging the hammer. They're running their franchise or their dealership. They're trying to make it happen, and that's not their skill set. But as a national brand or a regional brand or whatever, you have the ability to create some of that stuff. Now, what you need is some way to make it locally relevant to each of those
personal, locations. Relevant, personalized, local.
But the other great thing is when you develop these and you invest in these pieces, one, as Tim said earlier, they're evergreen, or maybe Kevin said that, but they last for a long time, right? So it's not like you're doing it once and this is going to help you for the next 30 days like an ad. This is going to be something that's going to continue to give you traction, the gift that keeps on giving for a long time. So that's why you can really like support doing it. And then you should be able to take that piece and make it, you know, use it 10x, right? Use it in your social channels or cut it up into pieces and make blog posts out of it and different things. And so if you do that and you have a system that you can create that great piece of content, and now you can localize it through your website, your network of local websites, through social, even ad landing pages and things like that, like you can like make that work for a long time for you across many channels.
And to kind of wrap that portion of it up is keep in mind that, you know, if you're talking about a particular subject, if you're creating content around a particular subject, maybe 20% of that, 10 to 20% of that is different. Right. I mean, the rest of it, it is what it is, what it is, what it is. This is the thing, but this is how you contextualize it or personalize it to a specific area. But the thing is still the thing. So it's not like you're rewriting content 150 different times, because that would be ridiculous, because the item hasn't changed 150 times. Only the relevant portions or the personalization and relevance to that market has changed. Yeah. So that's what you need to change, because and just to qualify this a little bit further, Google doesn't expect every e-commerce store to have an absolutely unique description for every piece of product that's out there, because the product is the product is the product. They understand that they're looking for other things that provide clarification to the relevance and context. But jumping ahead, so authorship is good with your authorship and schema goes along with that content. So I'll just throw that out there, because those are very important things to get into Google Discovery, which we can talk about on another time. And all of that leads into a concept within search engine optimization, which is referred to within the industry as EAT, which is expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. And so if you're creating that content and it's really good quality content and it serves the purpose and it answers the question and it helps people out and it does that frequently on your website, then that all creates that expertise. It tells Google you understand this subject matter. It doesn't matter whether tons of people are looking at that article or not. It doesn't matter whether tons of people are searching for that article or not. You've proven to Google that you've completely understand that that concept, which is why I don't like people that go by keyword, you know, how many times a query happens per month, because it's important that you cover it anyway, if as long as you have the time. So then the one last thing that I would say, that's the second thing, is the EAT concept, improving your authority and your expertise and your trustworthiness. The trustworthiness portion fits really nice into not just Google Business Profiles, formerly GMB, but all business listings. Having your information correct across this wide berth of locations and across the internet, and just taking a really hard look and asking yourself is the reason that 40 is the magic number because 40 is a magic number, or is it because that's all that that company can provide you with? Right. So the business listings, you're looking for quality listings, as many as you can get that are reasonable and that they continue to grow, because that leads to that trustworthiness as well. Right. So those are my three things.
Awesome. Well, good insights, guys. I think we would all agree that the organic opportunity is as strong as ever. For local businesses. And I think that, like we talked about, you know, the value, I mean, I've seen a lot of business surveys that, you know, the majority of small businesses say the number one most effective lead source is organic search. And you know, just from what we're seeing. I mean, I think we started talking a little bit about like what would you expect to be the difference in cost, you know, and I know we have some clients generating leads organically, all in cost, like 1/32nd, you know, of what they are getting those leads for and paid. I don't know what you're seeing, Tim, but it is significantly lower, correct?
1/32nd, that seems high. Factor in all the content creation and everything else, but it's definitely cheaper. I think for certain clients, we see paid search cost average per lead about, in certain markets, it's like $80. And then the SEO cost for that is less than 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So significantly lower.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I stand up for paid search quite a bit because we sell it, but also because I do think it is still very much a good channel. I will say about paid search clicks, they often have a little bit higher commercial intent often. And we do see paid search has higher conversion rates generally than SEO does. And once that conversion happens, it's often a more likely to be a sale. You're doing it on a lead based thing. So while it costs so much, it's kind of worth it because generally it's still really good, but you get more and you probably still make more money. That's not to say you don't generally make more money off of SEO. You generally do make more money off of SEO than paid search. Yeah. Well, if you have good SEO, I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not denigrating paid ads at all either. Yeah, I love them and they're great, but I guess strategically, I always think about it as get a foundation of organic and then like add in the paid. Because if the paid costs go way up and you can't afford to do as much, you're still got that organic and you're building that across all those channels. So, you know, everyone has a different strategy depending on your market, you know, your network at the local level and what you're doing. But I think a good balance is in order.
I think we've all said that. Yeah. I think that's the thing that we all agree on is that you don't want to put all of your eggs in any one basket, even if that basket is producing wonderfully right now. If you were all in on social media, that's probably a bad idea. If you're all in on organic search, that's probably a bad idea. If you're all in on paid, you see where this is going. So, or display or roadside, you know, banners, whatever, you know, in this day and age, it is really wise to figure out how to diversify commensurate with what the outcome will provide from that channel. No, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then that's actually one of our big goals for some of our accounts this year is we have some programs that we run that are 100% SEO driven and some of our biggest focuses. We need to find another channel that will make good money that's not paid search or that's not organic search and generally likely not paid search because in this category, the paid search costs are so extreme and all the big competitors have a much higher return than we would. And so we need to find other channels that will work really well. So like we're always looking for new channels besides just this one while we're still trying to double down on our winner, right? Like we're making good money here. We want to double down on that winner, but we also are looking for and spending part of our budget over here to try and find what's that next channel that's going to work for us.
Yeah. Well, and I think the benefit there is going back to something we said earlier is if you start organic early, you're afforded the opportunity to go play in other areas because it starts to work and it has longer term effects. I can remember Matt and I sitting in meetings many, many times where we say, look, if you're trying to move the needle right now, you need to give us, you know, 2, 3, 4 months for this organic Google's not going to change their mind overnight and decide that you should win for shoes, right? Over JCPenney and Shoe Carnival and all of the other ones. So you're going to need to give us some time for hotly contested queries to get that going. You better start paying, right? Like you want to start. If you need this to go right now, you need business, then you should start with paid. And then you can either throttle it back or you can reallocate. The reverse may be true where somebody simply doesn't have the budget. And then it's just a matter of we need to get started on organic as quickly as possible because it's going to take a little bit of time to get there. But at no point in time are we saying don't do that, because then you're not hedging your and creating protection against algorithm changes, paid search changes. We've seen a lot of those too. Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth. So none of them are bulletproof in and of themselves.
Yeah. So that's good. I think we've got some really good information and insights. And I think, you know, Tim, you're coming from a place of you've done really good organically and you've had that philosophy. And so now you're trying to mix it this way. I think a lot of people are coming at it like they're doing a lot with paid and they think they're doing organic, but they're not fully understanding the scope of the opportunity. And I think, you know, if you're only focused on a handful of keywords, if you don't have a report coming like with your top 50 and you know how you're ranking in every market and the traffic that's being generated, you probably don't really have a handle on, you know, what the opportunity is. So you need to like do some digging, like understand what that is, do some analysis of how you're ranking across all your markets. And then, you know, look at it on a market by market basis, how you're doing, where your traffic's coming from, where your leads are coming from, and try to do a really good job, you know, in each of these areas. And I think across the board, local relevance and localization is in. It continues to be rewarded by big tech. And you're going to really need to think about that and do a great job. And there's a lot of ways you can get more creative about that. But I think taking all the advice that we've given in sum total, if you think about those things and you apply them, you're going to have an amazing 2022 and beyond. So, well, thanks for joining us today. That's all the time we have. Feel free to hit us up on at marketcenter.com or flintanalytics.com. Any of us would be happy to talk to you if you have any of these challenges or want to ask us some questions or dive in more detail to your specific situation. We're always here to help. And Kevin, how can they reach out to you on the Twitterverse or your other social media channels?
If you type in Kevin Mullett and don't find me, then you've probably done it wrong. just remember it's two T's, not one, not like the fish or the haircut. I've got two T's on there, so you'll find me.
All right, Tim, any other connection points?
I mean, you can follow at Tim Flint on Twitter or Instagram. I guess not Instagram. I don't post much there, but Twitter particularly. I do post on Instagram, but you'll just see pictures of me camping and stuff like that. So.
Awesome. I'm at Matt Nichols, NICKOLS on Twitter. Or you can hit me up on LinkedIn or just give a call in our office and someone will connect you to me. So take care, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Multilocation Marketing Show. If you're a multilocation business wanting to improve your local marketing, visit marketsnare.com/podcast for more content and resources. While you're there, book a call with one of our multi-location specialists where we'll dive into your local marketing challenges and offer recommendations for improvements. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Multi-Location Marketing Show.